In the name of Jesus, our Savior, dear Christian friends, what do you suppose God thinks about you? Is he pleased with you? Maybe a little disappointed? You know that God loves you, but does he like you? Consider that question in light of this reading before us this morning. It's from the first letter of St. Peter, reading in the first chapter. If you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now, this is a passage clearly directed to us, to Christians. It says, to those who call upon the Father. And it does not suggest that we should consider ourselves God's favorites. In fact, it says we should conduct ourselves during our lifetime here in fear. Fear of what? Not fear of God, but fear of falling back into what he calls here that aimless conduct received that is handed down from our ancestors. And what's been handed down? What is this aimless conduct? I suppose we could list all manner of sins here that we inherit, as it were, from our society and from our human nature. But the fact that the apostle here emphasizes that God judges all works impartially suggests an aspect of human nature that goes all the way back to our very first parents, Adam and Eve, to the essence of that very first sin that still dwells in our nature, and that is the desire to be our own God. That sinful desire attacks everyone. You see it all over the world. And it attacks Christians in a very special way. We start to think that God must be pleased with us because of what we do. We start to think that God must be pleased with us because of what we do. First of all, we start to dismiss the seriousness of our own sins. We can start to think that our sins aren't so bad. After all, we're Christians, right? And they're forgiven. Easy. We start to think that God kind of looks on a Christian's sin more lightly. But no. The apostle says, God judges impartially. My envy is as bad as an unbeliever's envy. My lust is as bad as a pagan's lust. Your gossip is as bad as anyone's gossip. Your and my failure to fear, love, and trust in God above all things, that's the very first basic commandment. Our failure is as bad as any heathen's, and these sins condemn us to death and to hell. God judges impartially. But yet something in the back of our head still says, but look what I can do. Maybe I can butter God up like we do to professors sometimes, right? Not saying that professors are like God, most of them. But I know that if I show up every day for class and if I sit in the front of the room and if I actually do the homework and take part in the discussions, then they'll notice me and they'll like me and I'll become a favorite. And I hope that works because I hope you do all those things. But it doesn't work with God. He judges impartially. But yet, don't we as Christians do good things? Don't we actually serve God? Here we are, after all, in chapel. We try to avoid sin, even off campus. We help people in need. We pray for ourselves and for others. Maybe we even choose a profession in which we can serve God by serving others. And I hope, again, we do all of those things. But consider the nature of the good things that we do. Martin Luther, in his Heidelberg Disputation, argued that we should do good works in the awareness that they could be deadly sins. The good things that we do could condemn us to hell, he says. And how can that happen? When we start to depend on them instead of on Jesus to please God. When we look with pride upon what we do before God and think, now God has to accept me, we have replaced Jesus, our Savior, with ourselves as Savior, and we've become our own God, Adam and Eve's first sin. This reading before us emphasizes that there's only one thing that makes us acceptable to God, a redemption. It's not that we just need a little break here and there. It's not that we need a chance. We need a rescue. We need a purchase. We need to be bought. Not because we had any value in ourselves, but because purely because of God's grace. God chose to love us, and so he bought us. And not with any small price. And not even with any big price of gold or silver, but with the precious blood of his innocent son. Some of us here, and perhaps many of us in the future, have enjoyed the blessing of the birth of a new baby to husband and wife. And then you know love in a very special way. Oh, love for husband and wife, very special. No question about that, very special. But love for that baby is different. It's consuming. You can look at that child sleeping. Somehow babies are easier to love when they're sleeping. But you can look at that child sleeping, and you can think, my child, my baby, I'd do anything for this child. How could I love anything more than this? Your parents looked at you like that. God, with a love far more profound than any human mother or father could muster, looked at his son Jesus like that. But still he gave him up. Sent him into this world to die to purchase you and me. So does God like you? Answer the question yourself this way. Say this to yourself. The Holy Spirit has called me in my baptism and through the word of the gospel and opened my heart to believe in Jesus as my Savior. And now when God looks at me, he sees Jesus. Yes, I cannot hide my sins, my many sins that are damning, and God judges them as terrible, damning sins impartially. But then he puts them on Jesus, who pays their penalty and takes them away. Jesus says, put those sins on me. And the Lamb without spot or blemish becomes bloodied and dies. And that's what God now sees when he looks at us. And then when God looks at us and also sees us doing good things, then too he sees Jesus. He sees that life of Jesus that was perfect and perfectly pleasing to him, which is now credited to us. And he sees Jesus at work in us, and Jesus at work through us, and Jesus empowering us to do those things that please God. It's all Jesus. It's none of us. God sees Jesus when he looks at us, and he likes us. Thanks be to God.